This is Great FM, a podcast series by Great HR, produced by Timber Media.
Hello and welcome, everyone. The first episode of 2025. I think that feels very good to say, and I'm really glad that we're back for another ride on the merry-go-round. Ahalya here, keeping you company as always. And we're really looking forward to bringing you engaging and insightful conversations from the world of HR this year as well, so that you can really just keep your finger on the pulse of what has turned out to be an ever-evolving world. Now, to start us off in 2025, we've got a conversation all about change, which is apt, right? But specifically change management within organizations and the role that HR plays in all of it. Now, change management as a concept seems pretty straightforward. It's defined traditionally as the management of a change and development within a business or similar organization. But in the fast-moving world of business and work, managing change can be a very challenging prospect, given all of the moving parts that are constantly flying around. So who can help? Can it be HR? Could HR be the function that is useful in a scenario like this? And what are the different aspects of change management that we need to keep our eyes on? Let's try to answer some of these questions today, and hopefully we'll leave with some useful insights that can help us in the workplace. Please welcome Raymond Corder, Head of Learning and Development at King Abdullah University of Science and Technology, to help us with the unpacking of this mysterious package. Hi, Raymond. Thank you so much for being here with us.
Hi, delighted to be here. Thanks for having me.
Perfect person for us to be talking to, Raymond, because, you know, like you said, right before we started the podcast recording, this is kind of what you've been dealing with day in and day out, right? Which is why before we get into the conversation, I'm just curious about what comes with the term change management. I mean, change presents itself in so many ways. There's your workforces change, people change, strategic changes. So when you're approaching change management, what are the different kinds of change that HR professionals should be cognizant of and, you know, kind of make note of every step of the way?
That's a great question. And, you know, I think especially in HR, I think we often struggle with is we see change at a very technical level. We see it, we need to change this process. We need to change this protocol. We need to change how we do our work. But at the same time, change management necessitates seeing things as part of a system, really being able to step up and see what is happening in a system, being really clear about what are you trying to do? What are we solving for? What's the change that has to happen? And ultimately, how do we both identify and manage the potential losses associated with the change, right? I know we'll talk in a little bit about the process and ways of preparing individuals, but ultimately that ability to think at a big picture level and then understand what are the constituent parts of the change that was happening. If you are shifting an organization around from one set of direction to another direction or set of priorities, what is actually going to change? How is it going to affect the workforce? And what are the down sort of stream impacts it's going to have on the business? So I think that ability to kind of see the bigger picture and not immediately jump to trying to solve the process challenge before seeing the kind of longer runway and making sure you buy in on that runway with senior leadership.
Now, I think that that really sets us up for what's going to be an insightful conversation because, you know, it's all about understanding the role that you can play and then playing it, I guess, to perfection. Now, your career has given you the opportunity of working with really large teams, Raymond, and also facilitating collaboration between these teams, right? So in your opinion, what are also some of the biggest hurdles or obstacles that come up for HR professionals while they try to execute change management and do it effectively?
Well, I think the first challenge is the one you just mentioned, which is HR at the end of the day, you know, tends to focus on execution, right? HR is ultimately responsible for bringing people into an organization, moving them around, doing, you know, the business of the organization and ultimately ensuring that, you know, they receive what they need during that time. That is the core work of HR. Now, all the other facets fall into that. I think one of the challenges when change happens is it can become a very tactical exercise. HR ends up being on the end of execute on this change, execute on this policy. You know, one of the aspects about change in organizations, you know, models a little bit of what happens in the water sort of ecosystem in nature, which is there are things that you retain, the things about your organization, the way you work, your cultural DNA, if you will, your processes that have served you well and you need to be successful going forward, that there's things that you have to discard. And those could be things that have served you to the point in time. They've been helpful in getting you to this point in your organization, or there's something that might be a legacy item that people feel deep loyalty to, but actually no longer serves you. And then there are things that you actually need to do differently, the new adaptive skills that you need to bring into your organization or the way that you work. And I think one of the challenges in HR is because often individuals are pushing so fast to react to the needs of the organization, to executing, there often isn't that opportunity or the buy-in from leadership to step back and say, well, hold on. What is it that we actually need to continue? What is it we need to stop? What is it that we need to start? We do an exercise here called start, stop, continue. And we can talk more about how we prime the population, but ultimately this idea of really getting that buy-in around those things so that when HR does go to execute, as you say, it's really clear where the priority is, right? Change is a process. Not everything changes. Aspects of things change. Being really clear on what the deliverables are, what the expectations are, and what are the impact of the change downstream throughout the organization is fundamental for an HR professional.
Now, I think it's quite revealing, actually, Raymond, that this leadership buy-in comes up so often, you know, across so many of our episodes and conversations, and how important it is to be, I guess, aligned organizationally to a particular goal. Now, there's this very famous model of change management, right? It's called the Quartal model, if I'm getting that right. I might be getting the pronunciation wrong. And it provides a very pretty picture of change management. You know, when I took a look at it, it seems almost as if you follow those steps, everything's going to go to plan. But when it comes to change management, I suspect that's not the case. So first, could you maybe take listeners who are less familiar with this model through the concept? And as a follow-on, if you could shine some light on whether a model like this is enough to carry out effective change management within an organization.
Sure. So, I mean, when you step back, Connor's model is an eight-step approach, and you can kind of bucket it into three phases. One is really creating the right climate or conditions that'll support the change. So there are activities that you can do from, you know, he argues, creating a sense of urgency, building a coalition, forming a strategic vision that really help kind of establish what needs to be in place to begin the change process. There's that phase two, which is really engaging and enabling others. So this is the part where you move beyond kind of the planning, beyond kind of the steps that need to happen organizationally, ideally the diagnostic steps, to beginning to go out within your organization, identifying your energizers, your ambassadors, those people who are going to be the key conduits throughout your organization, those people that you know will convey the message, there'll be a support structure, and really help drive the change forward. And also serve as a bit of a conduit back to leadership and to HR around what's happening in the system, right? So you can really understand that third stage is really implementation and the sustaining of the change. And I think, you know, that's the critical piece that many organizations struggle with, which is it's a lot of catalytic energy to kind of begin this process, to engage others, to kind of move everything ahead. And often when the change is then implemented, people kind of, you know, put their hands together and say, great, we're done, halas. And actually, that's the most critical part of the change, right? Is how do you make sure that everything you've invested in, whether it's engagement of individuals, new organizational structures, new ways of communicating, are sustained so that you don't drop the ball, so that you're always on kind of an upward trajectory and you're constantly evolving. So I think there is the relevance to your point around this approach. I do think it's a helpful trajectory for people to aspire to, or at least to map. But I also think you need to think about adapting it to your own organization. You know, what is your organizational culture? You know, how are you? What is your strength in communication? How empowered are your people? Are you a really top-down hierarchical organization? You might need to put a lot of energy behind the volunteering, the sort of the activation of your internal ambassadors and networks. You know, are you really not strong culturally in sharing information, right? Are you an organization that's not, when it comes to transparency, like that's going to affect you? How do you account for that? And then finally, I do think, and I mentioned this before, But change initiatives typically fail when they don't account for the loss that those in the organization are either experiencing or are perceiving that they're experiencing. So any change initiative has to have some type of assessment and reassessment throughout the process of what is the potential impact as perceived by the key stakeholders in the organization. If you can be responsive to that and also engage others, you're going to be more successful irrespective of the change that you're driving.
I think the last point is just so important. So thank you for articulating that, because when you lose sight of that loss, it also, I think, depersonalizes the entire thing and makes the buy-in, I guess, a lot harder for people. Now, Raymond, before, you know, when I mentioned that you have had great experience bringing together these huge, huge teams, you know, I wasn't underplaying that at all. You know, prior to your current role, you've also been director of learning and people strategy at the Broad Institute of MIT and Harvard. You know, you've kind of led at that time the Institute's approach to talent management for approximately, 6,000 academic faculty, professional scientists, so basically people from all kinds of backgrounds, right? And then bringing them together, I imagine that took a very meticulous step-by-step approach. So maybe using that as an example, or, you know, at least anecdotally, can we maybe dive into the stages of change management, especially in the preparing aspect? How does one go about doing that step-by-step?
No, I'm happy to. And I think, you know, the privileges that I've had both at the Broad and here at KAUST is to come in at a stage when the organization was in transition, right? Being able to come in and say, we're going from one point to another, and recognizing, you know, that the importance of talent, of how we use our people, is really fundamental. That success ultimately is how we're using our most important asset effectively. And I think, you know, one of the things that maybe is not often utilized to its maximum, you know, potential is the power of talent development or learning and development in supporting change initiatives. One of the things that I'm really proud to have done both at the Broad, but even more recently here at KAUST, is really orient our entire learning and development, talent development ecosystem in service of the change management process that's transpiring. Here at KAUST, you know, we had sort of the first stage of the university was highly successful in that building, you know, the kingdom's first co-ed, you know, highly impactful science and technology university modeled on Caltech, you know, has had tremendous impact in the region and globally in science. And there's a second stage now, which is how do we now orient towards translation, towards commercialization, impact in the kingdom? So how do we take what we've built and going back to that kind of start, stop, continue, leverage what works, what new DNA do we need to bring in and be able to effectively do this? And so the way that we approached this was we looked and said, well, how can we use our leadership development programs, our management development programs, our HR data, our people analytics data to really prepare the organization, create those conditions, as we talked about, to enable successful change, right? So how do we not just develop people, but begin that process of managing the uncertainty, of being able to, in some ways, help strengthen their resilience for what's coming and also engage them in that process. So I think that ability to think about what do you have that you're already doing that could be repurposed in a strategic sense to really help you build that capacity at the early stages of a change process is really fundamental.
Fantastic, Raymond. The next stage after you've prepared for the change management, so to speak, the next stage is obviously carrying out the change, arguably the most overwhelming task for most people. So what kind of processes can HR professionals employ at this stage to make it a smooth transition?
Yeah, you know, HR is sort of really a critical organization because it's the nexus between talent and process, right? Irrespective of how your HR, you know, department is structured, where you report to, you know, if you have your CHRO or CPO in the C-suite, right? HR sort of manages the influx and the outflux in some ways. And so because of that, you know, in kind of carrying out the change, there are certain technical components, technical responsibilities that FOFHO where there's cognizance to change. And there's also, I think, a real opportunity to kind of provide input upstream to leadership and to managers and other areas around talent questions and talent issues. the challenge often is that because during change, there's so much happening, we lose sight or we lose the sort of energy to kind of adapt the processes in real time to kind of meet the change, right? Again, I think this idea of taking a cross-functional approach and really understanding what is changing, what is not changing, being really transparent and communicating that, and making sure you're resourcing those things that are changing in a way that the loss that people will experience is highly mitigated. One of the biggest challenges in a change initiative is, you know, the things that matter most to people are often the things we don't necessarily see as strategic priorities. But when they go bad, when they go wrong, they're the things that undermine people's belief in the credibility of the change initiative. So you really have to, as an HR professional, be hyper-focused on the impact on your business, on your constituents, on your customers is going to be most highly felt, and try to insulate that, you know, as appropriately as possible.
You know, Raymond, just off the cuff, though, because you bring that up, you know, when it comes to something like change management, I guess you can prepare as much as possible, but there will be a couple of surprises along the way, right? Things that you didn't account for. So does it make sense for HR professionals to also be honest about those things and those possible surprises going into the change management execution, just to build trust amongst the workforce?
100%. You know, in companies, within leadership teams, and naturally even amongst the practice of leadership, there's a natural tendency to want to insulate people against the uncertainty, against the things that might cause anxiety or frustration or stress in a system, right? Like that's just, it's human behavior. It's the role of the authority. It's, you know, we protect, and yet that does not work in a change management process. But what ends up happening is because there's a lack of information sharing, people actually then start, the rumor mill happens, the uncertainty, the risks sort of escape the lab. People start talking about risks that actually aren't present, but they generate a life of their own. And so I think for organizations undergoing this, you know, really thinking about the critical importance of communication and transparency. Now, that doesn't mean that everything is communicated to everyone. But if there's a regular touch point, people at least feel like there's an avenue to communicate what's happening, to be heard. That ensures people that they feel like there is communication happening. That's just as important, in my view, as actually communicating the information. So transparency is key. Transparency is not communicating everything to everyone. It's really about strategic communication. And I do think that that is often a gap in organizations undergoing change because it's not the thing that's often prioritized.
Yeah, absolutely. I think important for us to also be cognizant of that. And, you know, moving into the final stage, we've talked about preparing for it, executing it. Now, I would argue that the final stage is never really final because, you know, it's change management. It can never just be managed and then put in the past. What are the biggest points of note there, do you think? It's important not to drop the ball once these major changes have been implemented, right? It's an ongoing process. So how do you brace yourself for that?
I agree 100%, right? I mean, it's both the beginning and the end. So it's the end of the change management process and it's the beginning of the management of the change process.
Yeah.
And this idea of taking advantage of what you've managed to build, the buy-in, the communications, the new networks, things that you've started to add in as part of the change process that have actually proven advantageous. That's sort of the new adaptations that I mentioned. Being able to continue with those and also continue to always see the necessity of constant change within an organization, right? As humans, we don't stop evolving. Organizations shouldn't stop evolving. And I think the big challenge is when change initiatives happen, there's often this desire to kind of go back to the status quo. Oof, the change is done. Let's go back to how it always was. That often sounds the end of a change management process, but it also begins to degrade the very things that you were seeking to kind of instill in the first place. So the essentiality of don't stop believing, continue with the work, and also don't lose the energy that you've managed to harness through this process, right? Discard what you no longer need, but make sure you stay the course because ultimately, right, there's going to be another need for change. And if you've managed to retain the transparency, the structures, the buy-in, the energizers, you're going to be that much more successful going forward.
Yeah, but I think it's important to sort of tackle the flip side of all of this in the likelihood that there will be possible surprises. Are there any warning signs that HR professionals should be looking out for in you know, a scenario of change management, Raymond, that you'd like to call out?
I think, and this is, you know, often a real challenge, you either don't have a seat at the table in the change, or the community, the information is kind of coming at a pace or at a time where you're really forced into pure reaction, or you're caught off guard. Progressive organizations, those that have, you know, the CHRO, the CPO at that C-suite level, that where they're playing that critical role, you know, ideally they're catching that early on. They're seeing the essentiality of engaging HR in this process. Others where that they're kind of a second or third thought, it really can put at risk the change, and also can really, you know, set up HR as a bit of a scapegoat, or in some ways disadvantage them. You know, if you think about it in the sense of you're an HR professional, you know this is happening, and you're not, there's nothing coming your way, right? You're told, hold, don't worry. That's a warning sign, right? If you're not being engaged early on, again, HR, right? Talent and resources, it's what makes organizations, right, function. If you don't have a seat at the table, if you're part of the conversation, it's a warning sign, and you need to explore ways of ensuring that you're at least able to kind of, you know, be cognizant of what's happening. You see this in organizations all the time where, you know, the change is happening at a particular level in the organization and HR is off hiring people in, you know, filling requisitions. And then all of a sudden, they're all let go because the two parts of the body are not talking to each other, right? Successful organizations are like the human body. Every organ has a critical role to play and they're functioning in an optimal sense. If HR and other organs are not working together, the body's not going to function, right? It's that critical of a organizational component.
No, absolutely. And I think, you know, more often than not, we don't even know what these warning signs look like. So it's really important that we took a moment to shine a light on how they present themselves so that when they do, you know, we can make the changes that we need. Glad we got a moment to do that. And, you know, Raymond, at this point in the conversation, you've already touched upon why HR is the perfect function to be at the center of change management execution in an organization. But I think more often than not, HR professionals do find themselves in a situation where they're struggling to get that seat at the table. So maybe we should take a moment on the podcast today to reinforce why it is important for them to have that seat at the table and why they belong there. You know, maybe just a little confidence boost.
Yeah, no, I think that's a wonderful question to end on. I mean, I've talked about why HR is so critical. But actually, you know, it's also change initiatives, change management is a huge opportunity for HR professionals. There's often not other individuals or groups in an organization with that expertise that's required or thinking about things in that way, right? So if you're a HR business partner, right, not only are you there to support the organization in the tactical aspects of a change, but you can actually support them in thinking through, how do they get the most out of their talent? Where are there opportunities for growth, for promotion, for kind of really fundamentally rethinking the organizational structure? And the things that you develop and design, those could be carried forward to the organization more broadly. So it's that use of your expertise. And that carries forward to folks who work in talent development, even to working into HR ops and payroll, right? We often kind of look downward as our application of our expertise. Oh, well, I run payroll, I run benefits. Versus being able to say, you know, I have an understanding of our benefit ecosystem. Let's look at the data. You know, I see where we're trying to go organizationally. You know, we can reimagine how we think about benefits either or reposition benefits to support people in a different way, to cut costs, or to, you know, evolve in line with the organization. So, you know, and I tend to be more of a glass half full kind of person, but I think really thinking about the expertise that exists in the field of HR within your organization and how it can actually support a change initiative versus seeing yourself as purely on the execution side. So that is a challenge, especially in companies and organizations that are hierarchical. But actually, you know, the success of a change initiative is really ultimately going to be contingent on whether or not HR shows up. Mm-hmm. If HR does its job, shows up, is able to kind of really play a role, that means that their change initiative is more likely to be successful than if HR isn't. And for the reasons I've said, you know, if all the change is happening, there's a lot of uncertainty in the system and people aren't getting paid, the processes aren't clear, even core HR, it ultimately is really going to undermine people's faith and belief in the overall strategic change. So I think for those of you listening, yes, this change can be unsettling. Yes, uncertainty can be unsettling. It requires new ways of thinking, new ways of working. At the same time, it's a huge opportunity to leverage your expertise to think about how you can shift the organization in a way and position HR to really support the people and the functions that we're designed to do.
Yeah, that's a good confidence boost. I think we did a good job of that. Thank you so much, Raymond, for being here and, you know, helping us unpack the mysteries of change management on Great FM today. It's been an absolute pleasure catching up with you, being able to pick your brain on all of the different aspects that one needs to keep their eye on. And I think all of the HR professionals listening in today will be better off for this conversation.
No worries. I am grateful for the opportunity. I've enjoyed the conversation immensely. And I hope those of you listening find some nugget that you can take to your own change initiatives. Good luck.
And, you know, as we end today's podcast, everyone, at Great FM, of course, we do want to bring you all of the conversations that are relevant, right, that you need to be keeping your eye on in the world of HR so that you can stay ahead of the game. But also, you know, a big part of this is to remind you that HR is a very, very important function in the world that we live in today, and really encouraging you to go out there and keep up the amazing work. Until next time, this is me, Ahalya, signing off. Thank you so much for tuning in. We'll catch you very soon.
This is Great FM, a podcast series by Great HR, produced by Timber Media.